You know what I was thinking, Rod?
What's up?
I was thinking about how last week, I don't know if we ever said we were Murder Moose, part of the Slashing Cast podcast network.
It's in the game. I don't know either. Brian was here, and we invited Brian back again this week, but he's off watching Monday Night Raw, like the nerd he is. You hear that, Brian? You're a nerd. Nerd! And I don't even know if we ever decided what we were doing on the show. No, I don't think we did because I text messaged Ken about it. So, yeah, we're doing Immaculate this week, which is bonkers. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yes, so I'm not surprised. And it wouldn't be the first time, Ken.
You know, I was also thinking because I was listening to another podcast and I was like, I don't know what episode we're on. So
this is week 184, episode 184.
Oh, shit.
So we got like
listen, you know what that means? It means next episode is 185. Hot damn.
True.
Hot damn.
If I was a meme right then, I would have been the meme of Charlie from It's Always Sunny doing math at the white or the chalkboard. That's what it would have been. Like, or the fat dude from Zachary, whatever his name is, from the Hangover movies.
Just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the Julia Roberts one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ken, how are you, my friend? Sir.
I am fantastic. I'm a little bit sleepy as usual, but I'm fantastic. Had a good workout today. Went on a bunch of walkies and and let's see what else. I cooked chicken fajitas for dinner. I watched an episode of Rod jerking off. I watched an episode of
there's many episodes of that, but
Food Wars. Yeah, yeah. How was your day?
It was long. I had work, and then I do Mondays, like in the middle of my sixth episode Cthulhu Viking tabletop RPG that is pretty bonkers. And so we finished up episode 3 today and dealing with Cthulhu type things, and LCT's brother got eaten by, I don't even know, not even eaten, but impaled, and I don't know, it's shit, it's crazy. But that was today. So then I'm working, and it just makes my Mondays really long, especially on weeks where I don't have Fridays off and I'm just like but I did schedule a tattoo session, so I'm very excited. So tattoo sessions. So I think, two like major sessions left, and then it'll be like, I don't know how many little sessions to fill out, but I'm hopefully going to get my underarm done and then get my, figure out what I'm going to, there's a slot in my arm that is driving me crazy and I don't know what to put it there. So
you could put Weasel there.
I mean, it would just be black, the blackness.
That's fair.
Katie and Zeke's male poodle is black like Weasel, and they call him the Void. So you could call Weasel the Void S or something like that.
That's sometimes people come in the stream and they're like, how's the Void? Or I didn't even see the Void. And I'm like, whatcha?
Weasel, the destroyer of worlds. And then Stripes, the destroyer of ramen bowls, because Stripes is what you would call a BBC, and not a big black cock, but a big black cat. Or not a big black cat, but he's a big, what would
he's
that be?
He's a big cat. He's a big,
big, beautiful cat. There you go. Not big,
big
black cock.
Big, beautiful cat. Yeah, big, beautiful no, cat. He, it was funny today because, like, Weasel, she'll get up here and she'll sleep, you know, or like half sleep for a few hours before she starts raising hell. And she had been up there just chilling. And I got up and went to the bathroom and came back and whatever. People were like, oh my God, she's so well behaved. She's so calm. And I was like,
Are you kidding me?
She almost knocked down both monitors this morning. She threw my USB speaker on the ground, threw my cell phone, has knocked over a teacup. Like, the trash is on the floor just this morning.
I mean, this is the cat that forced you to buy a keyboard cover because she would ban people by passing.
And the thing is like, now she's figured out that the mouse is not under the keyboard cover. So she's really a big fan of trying to step on the mouse. And then I've had to put, I've had to put water bottle lids over my buttons on my computer tower because she kept turning it off. So, but once my desk is in here, we'll have more room. So it'll give her even more space to not utilize and be right up in my face.
I was going
to
say, you could be in the middle of like a football field and you're like, your desk is on the 50-yard line and she would still be like on your keyboard because that is how Weasel operates.
Weasel's, I love hers.
Weasel has seen some shit, man. Weasel has seen some
she
shit.
She has.
So can you and your food wars. Okay, I want you to give me a 10-second pitch of food wars. What is food wars? Because you see this pail. This is White doesn't watch anime boy who has watched anime but doesn't anymore and doesn't catch up with it. Keep up with it. What is food wars, Ken? Because you were very
in 10
very...
seconds. All right. Anime kids in culinary school battling with dishes. And I don't mean like table dishes. I mean like food dishes.
Are there Dragon Balls involved?
No, but they do apparently make fun of other animes. I don't know because I haven't watched any other animes really. There was one that I recognized as most likely a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference, and it was. But yeah, it's really it's pretty good. These kids are like in this really cutthroat culinary program. And so the dishes they make look amazing.
So is it like MasterChef Junior, but with like anime characters?
More like MasterChef cranked up with everybody on like the worst level of testosterone of judges and like Gordon Ramsay being the meanest version of himself times 20. Like,
you know,
these kids are like having nervous breakdowns and, you know, their whole family relies on them. And this is like the best culinary school, and if you flunk out, you can't possibly succeed elsewhere, even though you can. It's actually interesting because I don't like all of like the anime tropes or whatever. However, the one thing about it I'm not a huge fan of is if the judges like the food or if anybody likes the food, when they eat it, their clothes rip off and they like come, basically.
I mean,
I'd rather them just be like, "Yo, this is the tits," you know, not "here's my tits." But
I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on the podcast. You lose a couple of world wars, and like your sexual urges start being really weird because Germany and Japan both have like whatever, man. You do you, but Germany loves poop and gangbangs, and Japan, I mean, you're not allowed to look at pubic hair, and like they go into buses and then the ceilings are glass and you look up skirts and all this shit. You buy panties out of vending machines.
Your cameras in Japan, if you buy a phone, the shutter sound is enabled and you cannot shut it off.
I mean, yeah, because they
because they have such a problem with people. I watched a TikTok of a guy the other day in Target who was following these girls
around. I saw that. Yeah, they arrested him. I didn't see the TikTok, but I saw the story.
He was following these women around, and he had his phone. I am so sorry. Had his phone, and he was like, turn the video on and like lay it on the floor and kind of slide it under. And this woman recorded him doing it and called him out on it. And he was like, No.
See, that's the thing, man. And this is like, whatever. I am a completely, like, I've said this before and I'll say this again. You do you, baby. You just don't hurt anyone. When you're doing things like that, you're hurting other people.
Yep.
And it's not physically hurting them. It's mentally hurting them because you are fucking, you're taking away their right to say no, which is a big no-no. So stop being a fucking creep and stop doing this shit, man. It's just like, because it's just, that's a power thing too. It's just like, you know, rape is sexual, but rape is about power. power, not about the actual, you know, all the other shit. And so it's like, it's a power thing. And you take away people's power, and it's just like, that's fucking gross. And you're fucking, I don't get it. I don't get, like, I just want you people to be consenting adults and not, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I concur.
I concur. I went and watched The Mummy yesterday for its 25th anniversary in the theaters.
Oh.
And it holds up mostly, but I have to say that movie.
How are the special effects these days, comparison?
The CG is not great, which is usually easy to overlook. But The Mummy, especially like right when he comes back. Oh, yikes. Oh, because it's the other bad special effects are like off the screen really fast, right? But man, the mummy where he's running around and he just looks like a PS1 game that like is walked into the screen with Brendan Fraser. None of it's as bad as like The Rock in The Mummy 2, which was a totally different thing because they couldn't get The Rock to like, because of his wrestling schedule, couldn't get enough of him to like scanned or whatever. But man, I'm just like, if they would have just made him like practical effects, this movie would be like almost perfect still. And it's still really good. Don't get me wrong, but those mummy effects are just rough.
Brendan Fraser was so hot. Like,
dude, he's good looking and he's funny. And he's just like, I think of like the him and Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz is like that, like, girl next door cute, but she's not like hot, and she's pretty, don't get me wrong, so I'm not saying anything bad about it. I think she's a very pretty woman, but she's not like, so that game movie came out in 99, so you had like Angelina Jolie running around being like the thing that she was in 1999, and I don't know, I do
call her the lips,
dude, her with blonde dreadlocks makes me come in my pants. It's okay.
Yeah. Girl Interrupted. Hot.
I've never seen Girl Interrupted. I'm like, at that point, I'm thinking like Hackers, Angelina Jolie, which was a couple of years before that. And then like Gone 60 Seconds, Angelina Jolie. Her getting on Nicolas Cage's lap in that movie. Oh! Yeah, I said it. And I don't know if I've been watching anything else.
You got to see Abigail, which I did find out that one of the theaters not too far from here that only shows one movie at a time for like a month is getting Abigail at some point. But I figure by then we'll have a copy in another way. So, yeah.
I really like that movie. And then the one guy died of a drug overdose. Like the one guy, he's like Irish or something. And you just go, oh man, more drug overdoses. That movie is like, it's got a really, really good cast because it's made by the studio, or was it Radio Silence guys that did Ready or Not, and then they did Scream 5 and 6. And someone, I think Chris Stuckman pointed this out, they very much like a very specific kill. And if you've seen Ready or Not, you know what I'm talking about, the end of Ready or Not. That
I don't think I've seen Ready or Not, to be honest.
Ah! You should watch Ready or Not. It's very good. It's very good. Maybe we do that next week. Just to, okay, like, Ready or Not is really, really good with Samara Weaving. That was like Samara Weaving blowing up kind of thing. So, very good, though. I like that movie a lot. Yes, I did. It was a good time. I enjoyed that movie. I think that, like, it's another horror comedy. And what's his fucking name? Is that guy's name who I really like in that movie, but I always like him. I'm looking it up as and it was like my last search. Dan Stevens, who was in The Guest, which is fucking awesome, and other things, including I guess he's in the new the Kong versus Donkey Dick or whatever,
Godzilla or whatever.
Yes. And I appreciate him, and I've been in a lot of movies this year, I guess, but like that dude is really good, and he was in a lot of things. But The Guest is one of those movies that I'm like, damn, I really like that movie. And he's been in a lot of stuff. So he was also in that crazy Netflix movie where they went out to the island and like he was trying to save his sister or something, and that dude got his head drilled. If you've ever seen that movie was fucking wild.
Yeah, I have. Sorry, I was looking to see if I've seen The Guest, but I thought it was something that it wasn't.
Yeah, Apostles, or what that is called. Oh, that head drill scene. Oh, mm-hmm. That is like for religious fervor. That is almost up here with Immaculate, with baby smashing. But like, yeah, it is. The movie's wild. I really liked it. Anything else you want to talk about before we dive into Immaculate?
Yeah. So I've also been reading some horror lately. I've been flipping between kind of like fairy tale romance smut.
And I was going to say, don't say romance, just say smut. Because when you say romance and they're talking about throbbing cocks, it's not romance, it's smut.
But like, I feel like if the overarching story more of a romance side, and there's just the occasional cock thrust.
If they describe penises in detail, it's smut. It doesn't, like, if anything happens in a book, because this is why I say this. If that was in a non-smut book, that book would be called smut. So therefore, and I'm assuming, and don't get me wrong, because I don't know what you're reading or listening, whatever you're doing, whatever you're reading was written by a woman, right? Because men don't write smut. Because if men wrote smut.
Oh, it's awful. I have read a book that was written by a man that was supposed to be from a woman's perspective. And at one point he was discussing like a sex moment. It was painful.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to go back to the days of Rod being a young boy on the internet, where Rod was going into Yahoo chat rooms, acting like a lesbian, trying to describe what a lesbian was like as a 13-year-old boy.
Oh,
the
my
shit
God.
I said, the internet is wild, and I am 40, so that was like 27 years ago. But what I'm saying is men have no context into anything but let's be real, Ken. Women write Twilight, and then they go, oh, okay, and then they write 50 Shades of Grey as fan fiction, where it's just delusional insanity. But so what, okay, I've railroaded your point off. So what was this horror and smutty things were you reading?
Well, for starters, this first one wasn't smut at all. It was called Fantastic Land. I strongly recommend it. If you get a chance, you should read it. It's essentially about an amusement park that's hit by a hurricane. And the amusement park is basically Disney, but it has its own storyline. And the kids who are like young adults as well as some adults that work there split off into like tribes, and it's about the craziness that ensues, and it's really good. But the kind of smutty one that I just finished was really dark and twisted. Like, there's a curling iron involved in a sex scene. Like, it's pretty dark.
Please don't tell me someone turned on a curling iron and stuck it in the vagina. Please, please don't tell me that's what happened.
Someone stuck it in a vagina.
Was it
turned
on?
But it was not turned on.
Okay.
But it was almost turned on.
Okay. I mean, someone was turned on in this equation. But let me say, the thing that I wonder, though, is writing that is scary, because then some dumbass is going to do it and burn their meat canal off. Also, by the way, we were talking about meat sellers on my TTRPG day, and I think it was just terminology for like fucking vaginas. But that's fucked up.
But yeah, it's a pretty good book if you like horror, like extreme horror, if you like kind of smutty, lots of like weird, rough sex. But it also involves kind of like an amusement park type thing. So it was pretty good. It's called Maeve Fly. It was really good. And the end of it, like, wrapped it up to where like I really want to go back and reread it, knowing what I know now.
How old is everyone in this book? Because you said kids. You see, I'm guessing you mean like 18, 19, 20 year olds, whatever.
Oh no, in this book they're 27. They're in their late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, okay.
In Fantastic Land, they're like 18 to I don't know, like mid 20s, and then there is an adult group, but Fantastic Land isn't the smut one. But yeah, this one they're like 27 and it's in Hollywood. So it's pretty good.
It was Maxine.
And it does take place in Disney. So
do they call it Disney?
It's really good. Yeah. They don't use the word Disney, but they bring up mouse ears. They discuss the different princesses. Okay. They do use words like Cinderella because that one is no longer under copyright. Yeah. Everything is very clear that it's Disney without utilizing the name Disney.
Yeah, because Disney will sue them and Nintendo will sue you into the ground for doing anything with their fucking shit, man.
Yeah. They even go after people that do like homemade cakes that have like Disney symbols on them. Disney will go after them and be like, cease and desist, bitch.
Yeah. Okay. Let us dive in then, Ken, into the 2024 movie that is Immaculate. And holy shit, I really didn't know anything about this movie going into it. And I don't know about you, but this did not go into a direction I was thinking it was going into. How much did you know about this movie before watching it?
Honestly, all that I knew was that, or all that I thought I knew was that it was about a girl who had swapped parishes and became pregnant. Like, I didn't know anything outside of that.
I didn't even know about the pregnant part until I thought that there was someone was pregnant in it because I heard someone comparing it to The First Omen, which has, I guess, is the setup for how Damien like came into the world, which is Damien's, if you don't know, if you've never seen The Omen, this like diplomat and his wife adopt a kid because they can't have a kid or something like that. I don't remember 100%. And it ends up being Damien the Antichrist. And The First Omen came out like 2 weeks or a month after this movie, and someone was comparing the plots. So it's like, oh, someone's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. But wow. Man, this movie, I don't know about you. Did you end up watching it and being like, they didn't explain a lot of things in this fucking film. Like,
yeah,
a lot of things. Red mask motherfuckers never explained anything. Two, they never explained how Sydney Sweeney got pregnant. I mean, they kind of just implied shit, but they didn't go into it. Three, they're just like,
I think that they pretty much explain that she was impregnated by them, like as far as like,
yeah,
genetically or not genetically, but like through artificial insemination, yeah, at some point against her will, against her knowledge. We haven't done it yet, but really quickly, Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed into a picture perfect Italian countryside where she is offered a new role at an illustrious covenant, sorry. But it becomes clear to Cecilia that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets.
Yeah, I would say that's the case, man. It's funny because we're in 2024, and there's a metal band that I like a lot called Bring Me the Horizon, and they just have been getting some attention because they're doing an Australia tour. And they had a poster for the tour that says, if Jesus comes back, we'll kill him 2x times. And so they...
Wait, they'll kill what?
We'll kill him 2x times, it says. And so all the Christians are very angry. And people are like, have you not listened to their music? Because they're very atheist, they were MySpace, like, deathcore bands from, like, you know, the mid-2000s. So they've been around almost 30 years, or 20 years.
The early aughts, as the kids say.
As the kids say. But, like, watching the movie, I was like, man, no religious person should ever watch this movie because holy shit on a shingle, man. I'm going to say spoiler because we've already spoiled things, and we're saying watch this movie if you aren't deeply religious and you like weird, intense because the entire time I'm watching this movie, I'm like, this movie is so up Ken's alley. I'm like, this movie is so up Ken's alley because of that the fucking religious like stuff. And what do you call her? Sydney Sweeney in the nun outfit is like I am starting new fetishes from Sydney Sweeney beating in this nun outfit because one, she's gorgeous, but two, it's just like
there's this whole thing right now with another actress because like people are obsessed with her boobs and they're like, oh my god, she has the best boobs ever. They're so big, blah blah blah. Which honestly, I did not even pay attention to. But this other actress was like, well, I mean, like she's kind of pretty, but she's got big boobs, and that's all that's going for her. And I was like, bitch, she's fucking beautiful, and she's very talented, and she's in a lot of stuff. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. But go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, go watch the movie. Because it's really, but do not watch this movie if you're fucking skittish up with like religious stuff. Because this movie does not fuck around in that category, which I didn't think it was going to, but like, it does not. Like, I would say the last 20 minutes of this movie is hardcore as fuck. And two, this is already my favorite fucking horror movie of the year, and not that I mean the competition hasn't been crazy, and I haven't seen everything. I haven't seen The First Omen, I haven't seen some other stuff. This movie's fucking wonderful though. Like, I think this and Abigail that were really like leading the, you know, charges before this. I still haven't, I think we need to watch Lisa Frankenstein on the show at some point. Do you want to do that next week, or do you want to do Ready or Not next week?
Let's do Lisa Frankenstein since it's newer.
Okay, we'll do that next week. But man, the last 20 minutes of this movie is fucking bonkers, man. I would say the last half an hour of this movie is bonkers. And I think that was one of the things that I think people complained about with this film is that, like,
it's a very slow burn.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. I hate that because it's, like, setting up and it's atmosphere. And then it just sets up, like, all this shit and it's just, like,
yeah, I was talking about it, and I think you knew it, but like I was talking about it on stream, I was like, dude, the last bit of this movie is insane. And what we mean by insane is, for starters, at the end of the movie, we learn basically that the church has managed to get samples of DNA from Christ's blood, and they've spent years trying to find a woman to impregnate with Christ's child, essentially, so that they can have Jesus Jr. come out and the church can handle it.
Not Jesus Jr., a clone of Jesus.
Yeah. So they try all these attempts and whatever. So we find this out towards the end, and then it's just bam, 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 bam. And the most intense scenes for me in this movie that, like, stand up. There's so many intense moments. There's a scene where one of the other sisters is trying to drown her in like their communal bathtub. That was so intense, so well done. Yeah. But the scene that really fucked with me was the very end. She is very pregnant and she goes out into the woods. She escapes. She gets out into the woods. She squats and she gives birth to this child. And you only see basically her face and her head, and it was so intense, and it played on that like I'll never forget watching Pearl and the end of Pearl when she does that terrifying smile where she like doesn't blink or anything for like 5 minutes. That's all I could think of, but like cranked up. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm by myself watching it. And I like turned it down finally because I was like, somebody's going to think that I'm like killing somebody in this room because she is just gritting and burying and pushing. And she delivers this child. You never see the child, but you do see her pick up the umbilical cord and bite it in half and then pick up a rock. And you don't see her smash the baby because you never see the baby, but she smashes that baby's head in. And it was so intense.
Yeah.
And I was reading online that that final sequence was shot, at least the her giving birth sequence was shot in 2 takes, and they used the first one. That was it. There were only 2 attempts. They used the first one and they went with it. And it is incredible.
Well, dude, they did the thing where they realize, I think, the people who made this film were smart and good at filmmaking, but that if they showed the baby, they were in trouble. So they did the thing that very much reminds me of like Rosemary's Baby and stuff like that, where you never see the baby. They just show you like a zoomed out, like unfocused baby that is black. Like, and I don't mean like African-American, like black person black. No, I mean like black. And you hear the fucking noises they have are just like, they're like so subtle, but they're just like, you're like, that's not natural. That is not a natural.
All I can think of is watching that and hearing those noises and seeing her and her teeth and just that whole sequence in a theater. Probably would have been too much for me. And like, I can handle a lot, but that sequence was intense.
Well, dude, it gets you. So it really starts like when she, like at the very end, when the woman, like the nun, is just like in there with her and she beats her to death with a fucking like crucifix or whatever the fuck it is.
That was intense too.
That is you're just like, what? Because it's that point where it almost crosses over to exploitation film, kind of, like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it's that like kind of intense, like over the top, in the fact that the violence is so out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, she strangles the father of the fucking parish. Also, I want to note too, the guy who plays the priest who recruits her, another dude, this movie is going to start, like, if this movie becomes a cult movie, which I think it should, between the father looking as fucking good as he does his father and like that, the priest, and her, it's just like kinkifying the fucking Catholic Church, which I'm okay with because the Catholic Church can go fuck itself. But that stuff is just like, I'm like, damn, man. Damn.
There's a lot of kink within from the Catholic Church. You've got all these little kids that were raised by nuns who would like smack them and stuff, like slap their hands with rulers. And there's a lot of weird kink in that world.
I didn't even start. I wasn't even that in depth of like the Catholic Church, but I started going, oh, I wonder why I have the kinks that I do. Oh, probably. I mean, but amongst my other issues. But damn. But like, you get her beating this woman to death with a fucking whatever, like this, like cross. And you're just like, what the fuck? And then she goes and strangles the other dude with the like the rosary, like the rosary beads, and you're just like, what the? And then she fucking turns the good looking priest dude into like Freddy Krueger, and I'm just like, dude, okay, let's be real. That motherfucker breaking the door down was so B movie, like over the top, but
yeah,
still,
it really was.
I was like, this motherfucker is on fire, and he still catches up. And then I will say, what do you think about this? Do you think that I want to compare? We're going to compare. We're going to go back into Murder Moose past the scene where he's attacking her at the very end when he looks like Freddy Krueger to Inside. I think this scene was fucking worse than Inside. Like, Inside's like worse and overall because the woman wins, but this movie starts like he starts like slicing her belly open, and it's just like,
yeah. That was really intense. It was really intense. I think that that's a great fear to play into, at least, like, I mean, especially as a woman in America at the moment where we're having all these issues with birth, like, you know,
right,
lots of deaths and like it's kind of a shit show. I think that plays really heavily into that fear, and it's pretty well executed in that regard, because, I mean, you are very much, they do a great job of also displaying a lot of fears that I'm sure women of all generations have felt, but I know that, you know, as a millennial individual watching my friends and stuff go through pregnancies, it always feels like they're put on the back burner and the baby is what is the only thing that matters.
Oh,
yeah. There's just an incubator. And it was made 100% apparent in this. Like even to the point where she's like telling them there's something wrong. They're not believing her. So she just guts a chicken and shoves it up her crotch so that at least somebody will take her to the hospital.
Okay. Let's go there because that's a good point. When they come in and they find her and there's blood everywhere. Maybe
and the woman's like licking the blood off the
bed. Yeah, she's like, oh, it's Jesus' blood. My nun pussy is wet. But like
my baby husband's blood is now in my mouth.
Yeah. When she says that, you inserted it in yourself. I'm like, where did that okay, I'm not saying I thought she just poured blood all over herself to look like she had like was having a miscarriage or something like that. Where did the you inserted the chicken inside yourself? Where did that fucking come from?
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, I didn't think that until she said it. And I it's like, because you defiled yourself by shoving the whatever. The whole thing's wild. Oh, I did want to ask you about something, since you were raised Catholic. When we were discussing, like, really briefly, the red-masked, basically red mass people, because they were doing, like, a dark mass.
Yeah.
I was looking it up because I knew that I had heard of red mass before, but I couldn't remember what it was. And apparently, it's basically... It was begun by Pope Innocent IV in 1243 when they were asking for the invocation of the Holy Spirit as a source of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, and strength for the upcoming term of court. But, and it's like to represent a martyr, but they didn't, the only thing I could feel if you were playing with that concept as the Red Mass would be that these women are offering themselves as martyrs, but I would feel like it would be done differently. I don't think that that's what they were implying with the red masks and everything, but it was very weird.
I think to be completely honest, that was one of the few things that in this movie that I was just like, you guys, it's just like the opening chick, like the chick that they like, they bury alive. You just go, you get no context into like anything that happened that put this woman in the coffin they bury alive. Like, you don't know why they did it.
Oh, I think that, you can assume why.
I mean, you can assume that they tried to get her pregnant and didn't work. Yeah. And she was going to, but they don't tell you, and they don't like, it's that same thing where it's like, but the red people, like you see the red, the mass a couple times, like three or four times, right? You see it in that the shots, in the very beginning where her friend gets taken out, and then you see it like the one in the just up like second story when she's down there and like looking up. And I think there's one more time, but it's like, it almost feels like they're just trying to make it like even more secretive society shit. And you obviously get this whole thing where there's this large proponent of this place. Dude, the part where it was like, the chick who tried to strangle her is like her mentor or whatever, and she's like, if their feces is inconsistent, what did she say? Just like, it's like, if the dude, also I have to say that woman was in that movie for more than 20 minutes, and every time she was on the screen gave the best resting bitch face of all time. And it's just like, you're just like, you're just giving these faces out that you're just like, bitch, you are evil looking. Between her and the fucking like the old lady, you're just like, you get the range of these like nuns that are just fucking nuts. But like the whole like let's deal, because like the whole point, if you haven't seen the movie or whatever, is that they work in this like convent where like old like nuns go to die, like basically. Yeah, it's that's a pretty wild thing. It's like, what is the consistency of the feces? Like,
it looks like typically with the red masks in the movie, would represent is the blood of Christ, underscoring the ritualistic nature of Father's followers, is what it says. They are meant to give the impression that they're more spirit than flesh, but we learn that that's not the case. That was just, I just was really bothered wanting to know what that was all about.
Okay, Ken, I have another question. This is a Ken question. What was the budget of this movie and how much do you know? Did you find that?
$9 million was the budget. It had grossed $21 million. The last number I found was $21
million. Dude, I have to say, I'm going to go off a side point real quick because you're talking about that reminding me. So Boy Kills World came out on Friday.
Oh, I want to see that so bad. I had it on my phone and everything.
Made almost no money. And then people are like, why? The two closest the closest Alamo Drafthouse to me wasn't even playing it so that it could play The Mummy and Alien. And I'm just like, how about you, like, play a movie that, like, you know, came out this weekend that, like, it's frustrating. And I understand because my Alamo only has like 10 screens or something like that, so it doesn't mess around with that shit. But, like, I'm like, damn, man, this movie got no, like, when we were talking about, like, The Last Voyage of the Demeter a couple weeks ago, it's the same kind of thing, whereas it feels like it got no fucking play, like before other movies and shit like that. I'm just like, I wonder why it made no fucking money, man.
If you have seen Boy Kills World, please tweet at me, at Continue, KINTINUE. Let me know what you thought about it. And let me know if you think that it deserved more love, which I'm going to say it probably did. Because fuck, I want to see that movie. Yeah,
I do too. I just didn't want to drive a half an hour on Saturday to go see it. And I'm like, because I was like, I'm beat, man. Fuck this. I was dealing with my internet issues. I just really think that, dude, I have to say, I love her friend in this movie, the woman
Gwen.
Who gets her tongue cut off and all that shit. I'm just like, damn, this, like, see, the only one who starts calling people out on this shit. And it's just like, it's that thing where, like, this movie, I think it's not like straight up saying it, but it's pretty close to straight up saying it. It's much, very much like that thing where it's talking about how religion justifies itself it's the ends justify the means, and this whole movie is the ends justify the means, because, like, these people are doing this horrible shit, but we're bringing back Jesus, so he's gonna, like, I don't know if you thought this while I was watching this, but I was sitting there watching, I'm like, but you guys are all, like, the Christian religion and all this shit is, like, about spirits and souls and all that shit. How do you equate that, like, this baby, because he has the same DNA as Jesus, would be Jesus? Wasn't the whole point of Jesus that he was, like, an immaculate conception because Mary was a virgin and she didn't have sex? So God made it, instead of just being a woman, wanted to tell everyone that she was a virgin and she would never, ruin her vaginas. Dude, also, vaginas are not fucking like steaks. You don't take them home, take them out of the package, and then they're like don't eat it the same day, and so it's bad. That's not how vaginas work. It's not how sex works. It's not how any of this shit works. But, like, it's so annoying that it's just like, it's... Because how the church treats women, right? It's the whole same thing where it's like, I mean, they don't treat men great either. It's the church, right? But, like, fuck. Like, you get caught, like, blowing little boys as a man in the church, and they just move you to another thing. That's, like, the joke at one point where she meets her friend, and she's like, my parents shut down. She's like, oh, so, like, some shit got happened. She's like, no, just low attendance. And it's like,
I mean, that is a valid question. Like, why did your church shut down? Why did your parish close? Like, totally get it. It opens up so much because right now, like, if we're talking about, like, the fact that women and just using women and the ends justify the means and everything, like, there's so many correlations to what's going on in the world right now. I mean, you've got Ohio, no, not Idaho, it was Idaho, passing laws that hospitals don't have to treat people so that they can avoid issues with potential abortion issues, you know, like doctors dealing with patients who are miscarrying. They're just kicking them out into the street. There's, you know, but don't let us have birth control in some places. Don't let us have, you know, good preventative care. And it's because, you know, oh, birth rates, you know, oh, you know, protecting lives. But you're not, you know, and I mean, I think religion does do, I think people utilize religion, like we had talked about earlier with power, as just that, a means of control. And I will forever stand by that. 100% religion is utilized as control.
Yep.
Will always be, you know, Sky Daddy's watching you. Why do parents use Santa? Because Santa's watching you. You know, we're afraid of these. We're not, you know, hoping that they, whatever. But the movie hitting all those points, like they're torturing these people and they're saying it's for the good of the church. It's for the good of, you know, bringing Jesus. It's for the good of, you know, fuck these women. They're just here to be a vessel. Now, my thought is at this parish, right? So obviously they've had some semi-successes because there were fetuses in those jars that were like
stillborn,
decent size.
Yeah.
So whenever they do this whole ceremony honoring her and she's, you know, dressed in blue with all the like buns around her head and she's like crying and she's in front of the church.
Did that remind
how many other ones have been done?
Did that remind you of Midsummer or is that just me? I was like,
no, it did 100%.
Also, I have to say, she looked fucking hot in that fucking. She very much looked it was very much like a. It was like, I'm gonna use it, Madonna. It was like Madonna-esque, like you that religious garb and that thing where like you know whatever. But like, I was like, this scene was fucking like. I don't know. Yeah,
there
you're
were
right.
So many great cinematic moments. There were so many great scenes that just really stood out and really embedded themselves in your brain.
Yeah.
Like even though it was a slow burn and even though in some places it just felt a little too slow, it needed to be. It absolutely needed to be. But the scenes that stood out, damn, did they stand out.
Yeah. It builds up to that point where you're sitting there going, damn, there's just so much in this film where it's like, it's a mystery, right? They're like going, oh, this shit's happening, but what is happening? And you sit there and you go, you don't, I mean, they let you know that some nefarious shit's happening with that opening scene, but they don't, you don't ever get a detail until like she figures out that like they're trying to clone Jesus in her. And it's just like, I said this earlier. The whole concept of cloning Jesus makes no sense to me if you're talking about spirituality with the fucking Catholic. Like, that's the one thing that makes me go, I'm pretty sure whoever did this was not religious at all. They were just, like, anti-religious, which I'm fine with because none of that makes, like, pushes me over the edge of, like, oh, whatever. But, like, because like the spirit is the point of what Jesus, like that's what Jesus is, right? It's like the whole point of like Jesus is from God or whatever, and that's like why he came back after 3 days and he was whatever. He's like, you know, it's the spirit of Jesus. That's the one thing with this movie that I'm just like, but where DNA and I don't know, maybe it's going off of the religion and it's like doesn't know about like or doesn't acknowledge. They're like, oh, it's his DNA, so Jesus will come back. But like the motherfucker, the hot priest that is like doing all this shit was in genetics for like 20 years before he became a priest, right? He would understand, like there would be some kind of disconnect. I don't know. That was one of the things of the movie. I'm just like, I don't know about this, but that was my only thing as like as I say, a reformed Catholic.
Yeah.
A reformed Catholic.
Apparently, a bunch of people so that's why I see now, because I was like, why is this so anti this movie? It's because it's on the Catholicism subreddit. but people are saying things like it's theologically illiterate and juvenile.
I don't what juvenile doesn't make any sense to me, but like, okay. I understand the theologically illiterate part of it, like because of the spirit thing that I was just talking about, but like, dude, I was just talking about the Bring Me the Horizon thing. People are so like, it's funny. Someone was talking about this, and it kind of seems like a valid point actually. That like, you know how it used to be like that, like being anti-religious was like the like you were like a rebellious person, whatever. Nowadays, being religious is the anti, like you're being a rebel by being religious. You know what I mean? Because it's such a like. Now in 2024 where religion is in the state it is and all that shit, you know what I mean? So it's a it's an interesting thing, but like I don't dude, like all the shit that's happening in this country now that gets pointed directly to religion, and you have that tie-in with like insane people who have like ties to the fucking Russian like oligarchy, like fucking Marjorie Taylor Greene. You just go, oh, it's because religion, like you said, religion is used as a weapon for power. And this movie is another thing. It was like if you had a baby that was like the clone of Jesus, you could do whatever the fuck you wanted. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then Weasel said, fuck you.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm reading through some subreddit posts regarding the movie. Don't ever go look at the Catholicism.
I can't
holy shit.
That's why I said this movie is like, I feel like if this gets picked up in more religious circles, that the last 20 minutes of this movie is some of the most anti-religious shit I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. Mm-hmm. And not in a bad way, but just holy shit. It's
the majority of the subreddit posts in regards to the movie are talking about how vilified, oh my God, I can't say words, Catholics are nowadays, and how they're made out to be the bad guy in every situation. The thing is that whenever you're dealing with like certain types of religion, Catholicism, it makes sense for possessions because they're the ones who always handled the possessions. You don't hear about possessions in, you know, Jewish communities. You don't hear about them as frequently. Sure, maybe they, you know, are things that occur, but you don't hear about them as frequently as you do in Catholicism. And since movies are typically made about things that people know, they're going to know more about Catholicism.
So I Googled this just to figure out because I was assuming it was right. You Google world's biggest religion. Guess what is the world's biggest religion at 31%?
Catholicism.
Christianity.
Yeah, Christianity.
And what's the number one fucking
Catholicism.
One? There you go. So you sit there, you go, it's a reason why, and you go, what is like what percent? I'm gonna Google this next. So what percentage of the U.S. So I was what percentage of the first result is what percentage of the world is Christian? U.S. is Catholic. 20% of Americans are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying one in five are Catholic. There's a reason why a country, I mean, we're sitting here and Ken, you're not Catholic.
Nope.
But I was raised Catholic. There's a reason why most of these movies are coming from America. And guess what, Catholics? Maybe, just maybe, when you catch priests molesting little boys, you didn't just, you know, move them to another parish and send them to jail. Maybe you wouldn't be so vilified. Maybe, like, I don't know. I think that the Catholic Church right now, I find it fascinating as an entity. I really, really, truly do. I went to the, like, Vatican when I was a fucking, like, 17. Really interesting fucking place. I think that we have a progressive pope. And when I say progressive, I mean he's from about 1963, like progressive times. But like it, for the Catholic Church, progressive, like he's kind of like, oh, you could be gay. You could do all these things. Way less hate. Like I feel like most hateful things in America now when it comes to religion aren't exactly Catholics anymore. They're more like the fucking Protestant, not Protestant, but these like Christian bullshit things from like, you know, that aren't even like Catholics. They're just like these Southern Baptist kind of churches and shit like that. But like, yeah, you wonder why. Guess what? You have enough fucking, when you, one in five Americans are Catholic, that's why.
Yeah.
And it explains that. I mean, I don't know. Did you find anything, like, any cool facts about this, like, when you were doing your research that you loved?
Yeah. One of the things that I found, this was just on IMDb, but apparently Sydney Sweeney had auditioned for this film in 2014 when she was 17, but the project never materialized. When she took on the role of a producer, she reached out to the writer, acquired and revised the script, hired a director, found financiers, and sold the film to Neon. So this was hers. Like, this was her
baby.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea. Her grandmothers appear in both church scenes, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
There are two saints mentioned in the film. The cinematic angle, oh, that was the thing about it being done in two takes, where the first one was used in the movie. Apparently, the other reason why it was so powerful was because the fake blood that they were using during that scene had like somehow spurted up and gotten in her eye, and it was burning her and like making her cry, but she just kept pushing through it. So that's pretty damn cool.
And that combined with her being covered in blood from her like fucking killing that motherfucker with the nail of Jesus was like, it's such a, I've talked about it here in this podcast before and I'll talk about it again, but you take blood and you put it on white and it's such a striking image, and her being covered in that blood is such a like, and it's why like a lot of people want a Friday the 13th in the wintertime, mm-hmm. and why some of the fan films have done that, because it's a strike. I mean, you go watch the movie Dead Snow. We've never done that on the podcast. We maybe should at some point, but Dead Snow is great. But
yeah, I never watched Dead Snow. I know of it, but I never watched it.
It's great. It's very much Evil Dead, but like, and I mean like Evil Dead 2, but like, and whatever, but yeah. In Norway, where the fuck that movie was made. Like, That's ending is just so fucking striking, and it's striking after like you've been on that roller coaster the last like 15 minutes of that movie, where it's just like, oh, and you talk about like this movie is so burnt, and it's very much like this movie is a roller coaster, and three quarters of it is just going up the fucking first hill, and then you just go, you have the steepest, longest, tallest like drop in mankind's history, just because once that you go over that fucking hill, and it's just like it earns all of that with that last, that ending, and it's just like, damn man, it is. I really liked Abigail, don't get me wrong, but this movie is just fucking, it has that powerful message and that powerful like, oh, and it just, it doesn't pull punches, man. It is like,
it's intense. I do have a question for you, only because
shoot,
I know we watched Suspiria. I've watched the like remake or whatever, and honestly, it floats through my head a lot. I can't remember a lot of bits and pieces of it. But somebody on Reddit had asked if anybody had noticed the similarities between its opening and Suspiria's opening.
I mean, it makes sense with the character trying to get out, right? And then like all the like dropping, and yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's very much like that beginning of that movie and the beginning of this movie is like them trying to get out of these, like that was a ballet place, and this was a covenant, right? But like, yeah, I see that, the lineup. I think that like the opening of that movie and the opening of the Suspiria, like, or of this movie, are the problem. The difference is that The things that make Suspiria, like the color palettes are so fucking wild, and the goblin soundtrack and all that stuff. Like, this movie is way more subtle, especially in that thing. Where, and they don't like, yeah, but yeah, that I see that connection. I see that thing where it's that similarities of someone trying to get out of like somewhere they don't want to be anymore. And we, like you said, we can assume she was a test subject for one of these baby Jesuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know now how many of those, like the midsummer ceremonies there were that I didn't thought about that. Like, I wonder if they, like, I feel like they waited till she hit her second trimester or something like that, that like before they did that. So I wonder also, fuck man. Why? Did you find anything about why they were doing the whole fucking like scarification, the like branding of the feet? Because like they branded the old lady's feet too. And I'm just like, why?
It's usually to prevent them from running, like, is that, in any way. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, usually whenever your feet are branded, I mean, if they're branded, if they're burned, if they're whipped, it's to prevent you from running. They do it in Handmaid's Tale. They did it to slaves. They've done it all throughout history. But you're not going to run if your entire foot is, like, completely fucked on the bottom. And it's not permanent damage. So you'll eventually be able to do stuff. This is just a super side note, again, just because I'm skimming Reddit while we're doing this. And somebody had mentioned, you know, the scenes where like the picture falls off the wall or like all of that. There's a lot of talk that that's God interfering to try to give her like signs. And I thought that was really cool because I don't know if that's actually the case or not, but I thought that was really neat. But yeah, like scarring of the feet, burning of the feet, whipping of the feet. It's all specifically to break someone, to make it clear to them, like, you are mine. You're not going anywhere unless I say you can.
So I do wonder, because the old lady that you first see it has Alzheimer's or what. Dude, also, that fucking scene where she fucking, like, cuts her hair is horrifying.
We better stop, like, watching movies where people creep in on people while they're sleeping. Like, my little heart can only take so much.
Ken. No. Ken's back. No.
Okay.
That's very much anti-Ken right there. Because we know how you used to like lock your door at night because all that shit. Yeah, that was very much anti-Ken. Yeah, that was a lot. I don't know. Man, I fucking love this movie. I think that I'm so glad Sydney Sweeney did this. And like, is this your favorite horror movie that's come out this year so far?
No. Late Talks with the Devil.
You know what's funny? That movie is registered as a 2023 movie.
Well, fuck, then I guess this one is.
I wonder if that's because it was getting theater plays in 2023. That's why.
I think it was because it was at Sundance. And a lot of times if they're at Sundance, I've noticed they'll bump them to their premiere at Sundance, which seems really silly to me.
I think those two would be very close if you're going to call, like, say they're both 2024, because I did really enjoy that movie too. But man, I think it was growing up Catholic. This movie just like, it nailed me. And then, I don't know, maybe there's something cathartic about a nun getting beaten to death.
Well, and it's funny because, like, you know, you grew up Catholic. So, like, I'm not offended by this movie in the slightest, but I didn't grow up Catholic. But like I said, looking at stuff online, people were really offended by it. And it blows my mind because, like, of the religious movies we've seen, especially when it comes to like even nuns in movies, this seems like a weird hill to die on for your stance against movies that are anti-Catholic.
You know why it is? Because it's the Catholics are the fucking villains in this film. That's what it is. They're not. Yeah. It's not a possession. It's not the devil. It's the Catholic Church themselves.
That's true. That's very true.
The fucking villains of this film. That's why it's so offensive. Because it's like, it's like the whole like.
They can't blame it on someone else. This is calling them out.
They can't blame the Spanish Inquisition on the I really like the Pope's exorcist. That I will never stop laughing about the fucking blaming the Spanish Inquisition on a possession. That's
and the Assassin's Creed logo. Like, let's be honest.
So yeah, all that. So I thought this movie is great. I think that like it's up there, and I think Late Night, if we, because it came out on Shudder like this year, I think it would be right up there. And maybe when we do our end of the year thing, they'll be very close. But man, I dug this movie, and I dug this movie real hardcore. But man, this is not for everyone. And any movie that like, you know, does the fucking beating a baby Jesus clone with a rock and does it so well, man. And just.
Yeah, apparently the sound producer layered so many noises to get that sound, like a woman coughing up phlegm, a baby, like all kinds of sounds to give it that sound.
It's so demonic sounding. And it's I just assume that from that scene that the baby came out like fucked up as shit, like because of all the other ones and whatever, it just lasted. And the only indication you get is that it has that black cult, like, you know, like it seems like it's kind of like a black, like kind of like, not like, like I said, not like a black person, but like black like the fucking night, man. And just, yeah,
you
just
go, this,
it was Weasel.
Was it you, Weasel?
It was Weasel all along. We would never beat a kitty with a rock, though. Never.
No,
so.
We love her. Yeah. Just a Weasel. Baby. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just a baby.
I'm
but yes,
a baby.
I really like this movie. And yeah, let's do Lisa Frankenstein then the next week. And
hell yeah.
Cross off more 2024 horror movies. So, Ken, is there anything else before we wrap this shit show up?
Make sure you're checking out the website. Make sure you're checking us out. Definitely watch Immaculate. Definitely go into it really angry about people discussing Catholicism in a negative light.
Exactly.
And then tell me how evil society is. Yeah, and if you have other movies you want us to check out, make sure you tweet at us. Tweet at Murder Moose Pod, or tweet at either of us, or tag both of us, whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
We would, you sexy fucks. I think Brian might come back next week. We, like I said, he was going to come back this week. He's going to watch Monday Night Raw. Nerd.
Nerd!
So, yes, go to murdermoose.com, do all that, buy some merch, watch the episodes. I think Josh is still putting them up there. I don't fucking know. And go to YouTube and look for Murder Moose Podcast, and you'll find us. Ken is continue.com or STD Motel or STD Hotel or quaintaint.com. All those places lead you to Ken. So go do all those things. And
I'm Murder Moose. By the stream. I'm doing Omori, O-M-O-R-I.
Omori.
It's really good. It's a cute little indie, weird, dark horror game that I'm sure we'll still be playing by the time this comes out because of the length of it. So make sure you come by and check it out. Tell me what you think of it.
Yes, yes, please do. Hang out with Ken. She's awesome. And I'm Ryder_Johnston, and I'm doing... Dude, I was going to beat Psychonauts on Saturday, and then my internet shit on me with like an hour left, and then so I'm going to beat that tomorrow, and then I'm going to play Jedi Fallen Survivor or Fallen Order, whatever the fuck, the new one from last year, because this Saturday is the 4th of May, so may the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
And
fuck,
also with
I forgot.
You. Also, fuck! Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. Next week is Lisa Frankenstein. We love you. Everyone have a good day, good night, good time zone, and we'll catch you guys later.